Okay. Last week, some folks suggested we talk about friendship.
So, there's lots to say about friendship.
So, we'll limit it to a few things here, but I learned a lot. I want to bring out a few different ways to look at friendship. I feel very far away from my friends here. So, what does the Bible say about friendship? Well, it says a lot, and we won't cover every single one. I did just now. So, we're going to talk about true friends, because there's a big difference. Big difference. Well, Shakespeare said, "Those friends thou hast in their adoption tried, grapple them unto thy soul with hoops of steel. But do not dull thy palm with entertaining of each new-hatched, unfledged comrade." What does that mean? It's not Bible, but it's a pretty good statement. What does it mean? Your good friends, the friends you've had that you've tried, and they're tried and true, you're going to latch yourself to them with hoops of steel. They're your good friends, and you're going to make sure nothing gets in the way.
Connected at the hip.
But do not dull your palm with entertainment of new hatched, unfledged comrades.
Never did get Shakespeare.
Well, he's saying don't attach yourself like this to people you don't know. They're newly hatched. They're not pledged anything to you yet. It's like kids that suddenly, you know, they go to school and there's this clique and they want in it, and oh, they're my best friend in the whole world, and it takes them about a week to figure out, well, maybe not. He's just saying don't jump too quickly into saying I'm your very best friend. Does that mean be unfriendly? No. It just means don't attach yourself with hoops of steel to people you don't know yet. And the Bible, of course, gives us plenty of opportunity to do that, to read about that. Is Deuteronomy spelled right?
No.
I don't think so. I just looked at it and went, that's wrong. So what you get for doing things late at night. Debbie, would you read Deuteronomy 13:5-7, and Sharon, Psalms 55:12-14, and Betty, Proverbs 18:23-24.
But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst.
Okay, just a little more on the watch out. Watch out who you're looking at to be your friend, because there can be some downsides to that. Sharon?
For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. We took sweet counsel together. We walked in the house of God with the throng.
Is there anything more bitter than a friend who actually turns against you? It's heart-wrenching. And it lasts a long time. If any of you have unfortunately ever been through that, it takes a long time to recover from that. Betty?
The poor man uses entreaties, but the rich answers roughly. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Okay, so sticks closer than a brother, that's that steel hoops thing. And if you want friends, what?
Be a friend.
Be a friend. Don't be those people, one of those people that says, those people are not friendly. When you've never said hello, you've never taken a minute to stop and get to know the person, you've never invited anybody to your home, don't go there.
You come late, leave quickly.
Yeah, so nobody can possibly talk to you.
I've had several people, I've heard them say, nobody even said hello to me.
Right.
I mean, and I can understand, like, if they walked up to someone and said hello, and no one said hello back to
right.
you, then,
right.
okay, you've got a point.
Right.
But no but did, one said hello to me.
Did you say hello to anybody? I was visiting one time down in New Caney, and a lady, probably 20 years my senior, came up, said hello, greeted me, and said, would you like to sit with me? And I said, I would love to sit with you. I mean, I thought that was so nice because I didn't know anybody there, and so we sat together. And another woman came up and introduced herself and had the best line I've ever heard. hi, it's so nice to have you here. Am I supposed to know you? I said, no. She said, oh, good, because I forget so often. But, you know, they went out of their way to be friendly toward a stranger. So, did you ever have an experience with someone who turned out not to be a true friend? Or did you see it happen to your children, which is often the case? Anybody want to share any? No? Nobody wants to go back to those bad memories? Okay. I think we see it happen often to our children. Our children want to be, especially as they get to 10, 11, 12, in that age where peer groups become so very important, start becoming so important, and they want to be liked by that person. I actually had a person that I went to services with somewhere, and I really wanted her to like me. I wanted to be friends with her, and it didn't work. And I told my husband later, I said, it's kind of like wanting to be friends with the cheerleader, and she won't talk to you. But kids want to be in those cliques, and then when they finally work their way in, it often doesn't work for them. Sometimes they're even let in for felonious purposes. You know, they're let in because people are going to be nasty to them. They're going to make fun of them. So I think you have to be on the lookout with your kids. And how many times have we comforted a child who didn't get invited to a party or something and say, you know, they're not really your friend. You know that. And so it's time to move on.
I was gonna say, sometimes you see that with I have family members who have left one congregation and gone to another congregation just because the other congregation was larger and could help them more financially.
Oh.
And they go in with this wanting to be friendly with everybody and stuff, but they really weren't. I mean, they weren't wanting to be friends. They were wanting to be friends to see what they could get out of it.
Wow.
Kind of reminds me maybe of the prodigal son's friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That as long as he had cash flow.
Right. They're there.
They were his friends.
They're there.
Best friends in the world.
Money dries up, they're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sometimes that happens.
So, friends have to agree on the important things in life. Amos said, can two walk together except they be agreed? How can you be a close friend with someone that doesn't hold the same values and beliefs and wishes and wants and goals that you hold? I've told y'all often about my colleague that I work with, and I always have a struggle. She is my friend, but not friend in the way Sharon's my friend. Because I know I can talk to Sharon about anything, and we've known each other since we were babies, and she's going to be there to support me, and if I'm doing something wrong, she's going to tell me. The other acquaintance and I get along really well, and we have a nice time together, but we don't hold any of the same values. So when I have something I really need to struggle with, I'm not going to call her, because she's coming from a different viewpoint, and whatever she tells me is going to be hindered for me by all that, by not having the value system. Friends will hurt us if it's what they need to do to make us be better, stronger, because an enemy will always tell us what we want to hear, what makes our ears feel good, which makes us feel good about ourselves. But a true friend's going to tell us, even if it's hurtful, and they're not doing it to be hurtful. They're doing it to bring us back or to help us in some way. Friends, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. What does that mean, faithful are the wounds? I mean, I always thought that verse was a little hard to grasp.
They show.
Go ahead, Carol.
They show their true love for you, even if what they have to say is going to hurt.
Right, because they're putting themselves on the line. It's a friendship for them too, and they know that if it's serious enough, you could just say, "I'm done. I'm out of here." If you don't have the right heart. But a true friend is going to be brave enough to do that because it's for your good. Now, I think we have to be very careful that our own, we have to make sure we are doing it for the good of our friend. Carol?
I think we all need a friend that will help us be accountable.
Yes. Yes. Who's willing to say, you really want to go there? When I was much younger and cared about going to concerts, which I don't care about anymore because they're all too loud and they hurt me. But often concerts are held in places I don't think a Christian should be, despite the fact that the concert itself is probably an okay thing to do. For instance, Billy Bob's. They have great artists come there. Mm-hmm. There are many of them I would like to hear. But I remember saying to myself, so if the Lord comes back right there while I'm sitting at Billy Bob's, is that really, really how I want to meet him? And a good friend will say something like that to you. They'll say, I know you want to go hear this person sing. But is that where you want to be? Do you want to be in that group of people? Is that where your influence is going to be best served? So I think, and if a friend tells you that and you're really set on going to the concert, you're probably going to be a little bit ticked. I really wanted to see whoever. But then you've got to come back and think about what it means to the influence of others and what it means to the influence in your life. We can't all, you can't sit in a patch of poison ivy and not get a rash.
Is that scripture right? 5-7?
Well, I thought it was when I put it on there. What is right?
I don't know. But that doesn't read what mine reads.
Well, then it's wrong. And I'll fix it. You know, the elves sometimes come in and change things after you're done. The evil little elves. Yes, and I think I must have had a lot of them last night.
Well,
I will correct it. That is a verse. I just don't know where it is right now. And I'll find it and I'll correct it. Christians love sacrificially, as did Christ. And we know Christ's love for us, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But Christ died for all of us, good, evil, in between, working hard, not working so hard. His offer is to all of us. And again, in John, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. So while we are generally not called on to lay down our lives for our friends, people in combat are and do. People who donate a kidney, that may not be laying down your life, but it's certainly compromising your health to help someone.
Firemen
constantly. But in policemen, all those helping services. So, did I do another one wrong? Y'all are looking puzzled.
Yeah, I was just looking
okay.
At that one.
So, Christ's love for us was absolutely sacrificial. And our love for friends should be sacrificial. And that doesn't necessarily mean laying down our lives. How can we be sacrificial and show our love for a friend? Give me a couple of examples.
Just putting their needs in front of yours. You may have stuff planned for a day, but they need you that day.
Right.
So you could help them out instead of...
I would say you often do that, because I know how often you keep other people's children. And there's bound to be a day in there somewhere where you thought, this is not the best day for me to do that. But you do it. And we all see that and see what you do.
We need it so much now, but in earlier times, we needed people to sit up with the sick at night.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember stay-at-home nights with friends who were ill, going home the next day, getting kids ready for school. And
right.
All. But, you know, it was something you did, took your turn.
Right.
I mean, I did it by myself.
Right. And I think we still do that. If there's somebody in the hospital and there's not a family member that's going to be there with them, one of us is going to go see about them. I feel so bad that I didn't know Opal was in the hospital. She was in the hospital 8 days, and nobody knew to go.
When I talked to her, you know, she said Joy's phone had put in my number, but she messed up. And then when I went over there, it was my understanding from the woman that she was out of town, because I told her, I said, oh, I'm so relieved, because I was really concerned about her. And I said, that puts my mind at ease. And I said, I wrote her a note, told her to call me, but she got back. But she didn't say anything.
Well, that's probably the story they tell.
Yeah, well,
because HIPAA laws
to somebody, and I think because I'm not a family member,
HIPAA laws probably won't let them tell you that she was in the hospital. But anyway, that's an example of friendship. All of us would have gone to see her, would have done something for her, and that was a circumstance where we couldn't. What are some other ways that you might sacrificially love someone?
Give them financially.
Mm-hmm.
Financial aid if they need it.
Financial aid if they need it, even if it pinches you a little bit. Yeah. Not so much that then the church has to help you, but even if it pinches a little bit.
It's not a true sacrifice if it doesn't pinch.
That's right. Right? It's not sacrificial if it doesn't. It can still be kind and generous,
sure,
but it's not sacrificial if it doesn't pinch a little bit. Friends offer us love and joy. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Both important. A friend loves you all the time. A brother's there for you through the adversity. A brother should be your friend, I hope. And certainly, your brothers and sisters in Christ should be your friends. I know how hard it is to call a member of the congregation and say, I need help. All of us have that little point of pride that makes that difficult.
But it's false pride.
It's false pride. And by asking for help, first of all, we are becoming the humble people we need to be when we recognize that we can't do everything. And we're offering a chance for our brothers and sisters to do a service that they should be doing. How are we going to know you need help if you don't tell anybody? And then there are those people that need help, don't tell anybody, and gripe because nobody helped them. Those are the ones that make me mad. Nobody came to see me. Well, you didn't tell anybody that you were ill. You know, you have to share these things. Mother, do you have something
I've
else?
I've been a little bit sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people do so many nice things. I hate to tell them I'm well.
Yeah, I've gone through that here recently and still continue to, because I've had people come clean my house.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't physically do it.
Yeah.
I'm doing good to walk the few steps that I can walk.
Right. And people need to be doing these things for their own sake because they love you. So it's a good thing. I remember very well as a little kid going with Mother when we would be cleaning various people's houses for whatever reason. I usually had to dust the baseboards. That was usually my job. I hate baseboards.
You could reach on it.
Yeah, I hate them even now.
I had to do them reading a book.
That's why we're true friends.
Yes. I tell it way back when the kids were little and Laura was still cleaning houses. She wanted to come clean my house while we were gone on Christmas vacation. And I did not want her to do that. I thought, I mean, it was four kids and I just thought it was very hard. And I think I let her. She did, so I guess I did let her. Oh, it was so nice. It was so nice. And the kids just were like, wow. And the next year came around, and of course, you know, it was the same mess again. We went to Mom and Dad's, and the kids were like, you think Miss Laura can clean it? Because I was like, you know, just leave this. We'll clean it all up when we get back. And, you know, several years she did come and clean
wow.
the house. And I,
what a nice so gift, great. Laura.
It was, we all appreciated that so much. But it was so hard thing.
Yes.
Somebody's coming in your house and
right.
seeing how dirty you are.
Right. Well, and then you have the kids that keep you humble. I pulled everything out of in the kitchen and washed it all. Because you know how things get in the kitchen, they get greasy and mm-hmm. so on. And I got everything washed and clean. And Kate said, wow, it doesn't look, what'd she say? Gunky or dull or I mean something that made me really it looked that bad before. I agreed it looked good, but whatever she said made me think, you know,
that's
it must have looked horrible before.
You don't notice.
They keep you humble in front of other people too.
Yes, yes they do.
Yeah. We can't go in that room because
yeah. Yeah.
We put all the junk in there, you know.
Yeah.
You didn't have to say that.
No. You could have kept that to yourself.
I just learned to beat them to the punch and just tell visitors, don't you dare go in that room.
When I was in college and I shared a room in a dorm, and I'm not a great housekeeper now, but I was pretty bad at 19. You know, I've gotten a little better, Mother. But we
Good.
Put a room, a sign on our door that said, our room is a mess. We don't deny it. If you can do better, you're welcome to try it. Sometimes I want to put that on my front door now. friends help us rejoice. When she found it, she called. What are we talking about when she found it? What are we talking about?
Coin.
And she swept all the corners. And when she found it, she called everybody and said, I found it, I found it. Because she was so excited that she wanted to share with her friends. And her friends were excited for her. And those are the kinds of things. I mean, recently I've been doing some things different on my diet, and it's really impacting my blood sugar in a really good way. And I've told a lot of people because I'm so excited about it. Now, I know that's not particularly exciting in their world, but they love me enough that it's exciting. And so friends, how sad if you didn't have somebody to celebrate with, even the small things. First Peter, and above all things, have fervent charity. What does charity mean?
Love.
Love. Among yourselves, for charity will cover a multitude of sins. Does it make sins go away?
No.
No. What does it mean, cover it?
For one thing, it's not that you overlook it and don't tell them necessarily if it's truly sinful, but we don't let a lot of things bother us.
I think that's really it.
We let.
If it's sinful, you correct it. But if it's just annoying,
we give people the benefit of the doubt.
You just let it go. You just let it go. Use hospitality to one another without grudging. I don't think everybody's as good at this as they should be. But hospitality, I know it's easier for some people than it is for others. Some people's personalities allow more for that. But let's say you have a very shy personality, and one that where it's difficult to go, let's have a party. Does that preclude you from showing hospitality? No. What other kinds of things show hospitality?
Well, you can just invite them to have a Coke at the Dairy Queen or somewhere.
Let's just go talk for a few minutes somewhere. Or, you know, you just moved into your house, I'll bring you a little basket of bread and jelly. Or just, it doesn't have, what I'm saying is it doesn't have to be on a grand scale to be hospitable. Well, that didn't do it. Friends mourn with us. Friends are there when we're sad, when we need help. Now, I know that they didn't turn out to be the best friends in the whole world. But Job's three friends came when they heard about what was going on, and they sat with him on the ground for 7 days and 7 nights, just sat with him. So I think they messed up a little bit later on. But I do believe they were true friends who cared, and he was in trouble. They couldn't fix it. They're just going to come be with him.
I think after he kept not getting well,
right.
They just kept getting farther away from,
right.
Okay, this isn't going to happen.
Right. But, you know, I know as a young person, I thought funerals were just a horrific pageantry of death. I mean, I really thought they were a terrible thing, and we didn't know what we were doing, you know, with people dying. And it took me a long time to understand why we need these kinds of ceremonies. It's important to go. And it's the next one about the house of mourning. No, I guess I took it out. But we need people to be with us in times of grief. And in our society, we have a funeral. Sometimes there's a wake, there's a visitation, whatever. And it's just a way of friends to say, I really care. I had to go to I couldn't get to the funeral. I went to a visitation a couple of weeks ago with a classmate of mine that died. Two classmates have died within the last 2 weeks, and that's a little disconcerting because I personally think we're too young to be kicking off. But anyway, and Sharon was there, went to this visitation. And her kids didn't know us. Did they know you?
No.
But we were able to say, we went to school with your mother. She was a sweet and wonderful lady, and we will miss her. And both of the children said how important it was that we came there to know that someone who had known her for so many years cared and would miss her. And it's a small thing, but...
And sometimes it's not even if you don't know the person who died.
Right.
You know somebody that is going to miss them.
Right. It's going to be in pain from it.
It's still important for you to go to lend comfort to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the saddest things we experienced was a little lady that we met through the church in one of the churches in Louisiana. And as the time that we were there, she never graced the door of the building. But we would go over, and she wanted us to bring the Lord's Supper to her, but we would go over and study with her and things, and she passed away. We went to the funeral. Two people were there besides us.
Oh, my.
How can you live your whole life,
right,
and only have two people,
right, care enough that you're gone?
Exactly.
Well, bye, Mary.
So,
yeah,
I think that's sad when you go through life and you don't have any
right
friend.
I do, and at that moment it was just distressing to you that there were only four people there, but in her lifetime, she didn't have friends.
She didn't have any friends.
And how very sad
well,
is that?
Well, she may have outlived all her friends.
No.
No.
Nobody has to live outlive all their and friends because you have younger friends.
Even if you, I mean, family should have been enough.
Right.
A neighbor.
Yeah.
And she had lived at the same place for a long, but she was in her place.
And that puts me on a little bit of a...
It was sad.
Puts me on a little bit of a soapbox, and it's not scriptural, it's just my opinion that my mother taught me. See if she's paying attention. Yeah, she frowned. When people plan activities, I, within every ability I have, if I'm invited to that activity, I'm going to go. Because I know it's very disheartening for people who have planned something and nobody shows up. And I feel particularly that way about my brothers and sisters in Christ. If there's something going on, I'm going to go if I possibly can. Because I don't want them to be discouraged in their work of hospitality when they've tried to do something and nobody shows up. Now, is that just me, or does that make sense?
No. Okay. And be on time.
And be on time. And just as an aside, let them know you're coming. So, as I always say, so I'll know how many cookies to bake.
Yeah, if they ask you to RSVP and you don't, that's, yeah, you don't know if they're coming or not.
Right. So, maybe this is something we need to be spreading. Bonnie?
This was this kind of actually connected to it. It's a different situation here with Job's friends. But seeing about the fact that what did they do at first? They showed up. They didn't talk.
Right.
They didn't, you know, they're like, there's nothing we can do at this point. It's grief is so great. We just showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that, like you said, even to like events and stuff, just showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Really says a lot.
It does. It says something.
And sometimes it's all you can do.
It is. And I know that in mourning, sometimes, and particularly younger people, because they don't have enough experience doing this, will say, I don't want to go. I don't know what to say to her. Well, there's nothing you can say. Mother?
I had a friend one time. She wasn't going to write to her, but she was wiser than I was. And we had a friend who had lost somebody, or for some reason we need to go. And I said, but I don't know what to say. She said, show your face.
Oh, that's good advice. Show your face. And the people who, Roger says this about his late wife, Jackie, says, I hate it when people don't want to talk about her, because it's like they think, if they don't talk about her, I won't remember. But if they talk about her, it'll make me remember and I'll feel bad. He said, I'll never forget that I loved Jackie and that she died. You know, you don't forget about someone, and it doesn't make you more, generally speaking, it doesn't make people more sad to talk about that person. It might for that moment. But I know that I was at a high school reunion years ago, and a lady was there, the mother of four guys that went to school with us. Okay. What's her last name? Anyway.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about.
And the youngest one, too, she lost two of her sons in car wrecks over the years. But the youngest one had been a particular friend of mine. He died when he was 18 or 19. And so this is 20 years later or more. And since she happened to be there at the reunion, I went over and talked to her and I said, I just want you to know how much Keith meant to me. He was a dear, sweet person, and I really loved him, and I know you miss him horribly. And she said, it is so nice to know that somebody still remembers my Keith. You know, so while it might have made her temporarily miss him right that second more than she normally does, it didn't change the fact that she's always going to miss him. You know, it made her feel good that somebody remembered him as well. So I don't think it's a good idea to, I don't want to talk about that person. It would be terrible if I never said to Yvonne, Joe was great. I really liked Joe, and he looked like my daddy. And when I was little, I used to get him confused. You know?
They look more like brothers.
Yeah.
Brothers.
Yeah. So, true friends stick with us. How's it doing that? Two are better than one. Because they'll have a good reward for their labor. If they fail, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevails against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We have strength when we have friends. We have someone to help us when we fall. We have someone to keep us warm, and I'm not sure that's just physical. But help us feel good about life and about what's going on. A true friend is a valuable thing. And as we age, I mean, you ask kids how many friends they have, and they have, you know, a million. You ask some adults, and they say, well, I have 500 friends on Facebook. Well, that's not friends. Those are people you occasionally look at. But true friends are hard to find. And I believe that when we're in this kind of a congregation like we have, like we're fortunate enough to have, we have a lot of true friends. But even within that group, there are people that we feel closer to. That's always going to be the case. That's just human nature. I think our big issue on that is to make sure we don't always spend our time here talking to the people we feel closest to instead of to everybody else.
That makes me think of after Joe died, we received so many cards, you know, and my son-in-law, Julie's husband, those, and he said, "Do you know all those people?" I said, "Of course I do."
Yeah. Yeah. And for somebody who's not a Christian, that's amazing. You know, they can't even fathom that.
Well, it's like you and I have known each other.
I don't know. 55 years, something like that.
I mean, you're that old.
You keep thinking that way.
Yeah, I keep thinking that way. And we've always had that lasting friendship. Mm-hmm. And like with Bonnie and I, we say we knew each other in school, but we were not friends.
No.
But now, like I say, we're joined at the hip.
Yeah.
But you're still a very dear friend.
Right. And we have different levels of friendships. I could call Karen in. Karen. What's your name?
You are awesome.
Karen. Anytime she would do anything she could for me. And I always know that. But I also know Bonnie's her best friend. And that doesn't bother me. They have this really close, wonderful relationship. Bonnie's my friend, too. But not in the way they're friends. And I think those few friends that we have that are so precious to us, are. I think we need to remember that. They're precious to us. And if they are gone, that's a void that can't be filled.
And when we reacquainted, it took us a while to become close.
Mm-hmm.
And true friends, too. I have friends that live in other, you know, two really close friends, and you don't have to talk to them every day, because when you do connect, it's like you've been talking the whole
right.
time.
Never left that conversation.
Exactly.
Well, I'd probably put Robbie in that category for me.
Uh-huh.
You know, they live in North Carolina, and I don't see her but a couple of times a year if I'm lucky, but we pick up right there. You know, it's just, there's no difference, no change. And that's a valuable thing.
I like that verse, though, because a lot of times, you know, when you're by yourself, it's real easy to woe is me. And sometimes you need somebody to just shock you out of that and say,
get over it.
I mean, it really wasn't that bad or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, for me, that's Steve, you know. And,
right.
And I always tell our kids that, you know, we keep each other, we tether each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if he, you know, being a preacher's wife, you know, and most of y'all in the church would know this too, but there's just a lot of times that you can't please everybody.
Right.
and you know that they get up there and preach a sermon, and you know it hits somebody really hard, and you know that person's going to give him a hard time about it and things, or they do something that hurts their feelings, and sometimes you kind of have to rein them in and say, you know, are you taking it bad because it hurt your feelings, or was what they said truth, or you know,
yeah.
you know, or, and we have to get over it. We have to And then he does the same thing with me about worry or mm-hmm. anything like that. And he tethers me and, or if I'm big on customer service and things need to be right. And I try to make sure
the lady I talked to the other day.
and I have to remind myself, you know, this is not the person who created the problem.
Right.
Be nice to that person.
Right.
And Steve, sometimes he'll say, you know, he'll pull me back and say, you know, hey, is it the end of the world if we lost a dollar?
Yeah.
It's not, you know.
Yeah. And principle.
So, I know. But he's there to rein
yes.
me in,
yeah.
and I'm there to rein him in. And we have friends like that, too.
Right.
That's what they are there for.
Right.
When you fall, then they help you up, and you help them up when they fall. But in the meantime, you can get a lot more work together with two people
right.
than with one.
Right.
But
Mother?
I was just going to say, make friends of all ages.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. your company is dying, leaving.
Yeah, then you don't outgrow all your, outlive all your friends if you're working at friends of all ages. Yeah.
I used to tell my kids, of course, you know, I've always encouraged them to go hug the older mm-hmm. people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, I don't know what to say. I said, you don't have to say anything.
No.
Give them a hug and ask them how they are, and they'll,
yeah.
they're going to take it from there.
That's right.
You
That's
know.
Right.
Well, we have such good young people here, and they make us feel okay.
So that's like the Gary boys.
Mm-hmm.
They will come up to me, can I help you with your walker?
Oh, nice.
And they wanted to push me when I was in the wheelchair.
Yeah. Wee.
Yeah.
Please don't.
Even the twins will come up and give me a hug.
Yeah.
And that means a lot.
It does.
Like you say, even though they're talking, yes, but they don't know how to express anything
right.
other than through a hug.
Well, you know, and the little ones do things with touch, and that's how they say something. The boys come hold my arm when I have to give myself a shot so it won't hurt. You know, they just put their hands on my arm.
One little child here comes and hugs my leg. It's so short.
That comes from parents teaching.
It does. It absolutely does.
They might not do that on their own.
Well, we kind of hope they won't do it on their own to just anybody. So, you know, yeah. it's safe here. You can do it here. True friends help us be better people. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Not just, wow, that's great. I'm so glad you're doing well, when you know there's something maybe they're not doing well that needs to be talked about. But a true friend will tell you what you're doing wrong. Fix this. And if you're truly friends, you'll accept it. And you'll say, oh, right, I need to fix that.
Jean, you can't edify if you're not there.
You cannot edify if you're not there.
You're not there for them.
That's right.
You don't know what's going on with them.
Right.
Those kinds of
things. And if all the people here are basically strangers to you, you can't edify. You might at that moment if you see something right then, but if you don't know them, like you said, know what's going on with them, you can't help.
That's when this class is so important.
I like this class. I spend a lot of time twisting arms, try to get people to come back, but you know. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, but so does the sweetness of a man's friend, by hearty counsel. Not by flattery, not by everything. Hearty counsel. Well, here's what's good for you. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm your friend. I'm not going to do it bitterly. I'm not going to do it to hurt you. I'm not going to do it in a sense of superior attitude. I'm going to tell you this because you're important to me. And I want you to know. We want to provoke one another to love and good works. And the assembling. You can't know each other. You can't help each other if you don't know each other. But there are a few who can lead us down the wrong path. Be not deceived, evil. And I don't like this translation. I like evil companions corrupt good morals. But you hang out with the wrong people. What do you hear about kids who... I know we're pushing time here. I'll hurry up. Kids who start on drugs, what do they often say? Well, they fell in with the wrong crowd. They're hanging out with the wrong people. And as parents, we spend a lot of time trying to make sure our kids are with the right people. And it's tough, especially in today's world with the communication the way it is. I mean, if my mother wanted to call and see if I was at Kathy McClure's house, she called Kathy McClure's house. And I was either there or I wasn't. But today, if you call a kid and say, where are you? Kathy McClure's house. Maybe, maybe not. So there are a lot of challenges in being a parent and making sure your children are with good companions. And it starts early. It starts early with pushing them toward the right people that you want to be with, which are other Christian friends.
I was going to say one thing about knowing whether your friends are your friends. If they ever try to get you to tell your parents that you're someplace that
right.
you're not, that's a good...
It's a big issue.
It's a big red flag.
Yeah.
And like a boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
Trying to, you know, if they're good at helping you lie to your parents...
Mm-hmm.
They might be good at lying to you later
mm-hmm.
on.
Yeah, or, you know, you don't have to tell them we went there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do. Sure you do. So, yes, there are a lot of red flags, and kids are not able to discern all of that. It's up to us to help them. And that's when we become the I hate you parent. You know, you never let me do anything, I hate you. Okay. I mean, I've said to my children, you may hate me, but this is God. What I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to have to answer to him, so maybe you'll get over it. Maybe you won't, but...
Well, it's my dear friend Dennis. He and I have secrets that no one will ever know. Things that we did when we were in school. Even you don't know.
I don't want to know, Sharon. Don't tell me.
You don't want to know.
Dennis Froggen?
Yes, that's what got the grave with me and Dennis.
Yeah. And we're not going to go into them, but there are some powerful friendships in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, you can't think about friendship without talking about Ruth and Naomi, Jonathan and David, and Jesus and Lazarus. And then, of course, I didn't put it on here, but Jesus is our friend who gave everything to us. I kind of don't... That one seems so odd to put on, because how can I be a friend to Jesus? You know, I know, keep his commandments, but it just seems so... The creator of the universe and me.
That's
right. So who are your true friends? Who loves you sacrificially? Who's willing to tell you what you need to hear? Who will laugh and cry with you? And more importantly, to whom are you a true friend? How can you be a better friends? Another correction there. I think it's something for us all to consider. How we can improve the quality of our friendship to other people. Questions, comments?
The scripture that needs to change should be Proverbs 27.
Thank you. I'll fix it this afternoon.
What was it?
Proverbs 27.
The verses are right, but it's 27 instead of 25.
Okay. Oh, well, that's a typo then.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is.
Oh, there in Mark's for true friendship.
Okay.
You had 25, 5 through 7, and it's 27.
So okay, thank you.
The 5s and the 7s were there.
In the wrong order.
They were there.
Comments or questions about friendship?